Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy, from CEOs to small business owners to mentors. Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back. If you have a student loan, a home mortgage, a car payment, you have a business, it's called life. And here at Coffee and Capitalism, we learn the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with David Allen with Elite Energy Services. He tells the story of the old school entrepreneur family ways and how the fire tube came across as their product, why they sacrificed, etc., etc. Great story with David Allen, Elite Energy Services. And then Bill Wren, University of Texas at Austin's McDonald Observatory. A couple things out of this. For one, it's nice to see that the oil and gas industry and the observatory are working together to reduce the light pollution. And another thing that came out of it is that there's now a business to replace light bulbs at all these different well sites across the United States. And Texas is leading the way. The University of Texas at Austin's McDonald Observatory, and Bill Wren tells a story about how that came to be. Interesting story a little later in the program. An industry none of us would have really thought about, replacing light bulbs and redirecting light in order to reduce light pollution so observatories and night sky watchers can enjoy that part of the sky, I guess, and also, you know, keep us safe of meteors. Okay, and then we talk with Josh Swanson, Vogel Law Firm. Gives us an update on a very bizarre ongoing battle with the state of North Dakota and some mineral right owners. There's this legal battle happening where the government flooded some land, and then the government later said, now we own the mineral rights underneath that land. And the original mineral right owners are saying, no, we have the deed right here from the 18th century. And so it's going back and forth, back and forth. Josh Swanson says it needs a four-letter word to describe what's going on out there. A little later in the program, Josh Swanson. All that plus much more and a look at the pipeline impact numbers, economic impact numbers, a little later in the program too. My name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch Coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom and the challenges that he may be faced, when he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. 1572. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, David Allen with Elite Energy Services.
My name is David Allen, and I am with Elite Energy Services out of Williston, North Dakota.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Thank you for joining us here on the Crude Life Media Network, but this is a family-run business, correct?
It is. It is. We've been in the Bakken now for about 5 years, and originally we started out working as a roustabout company when we first came out, and during the downturn, like everyone else, it really had quite an impact on us. We ended up having to lay most of our crew, in fact, all of our crews off, and just basically, you know, tried to make the best of it that we could with as a family. Just myself and two sons and my wife were the only ones that were kind of left in the area, and so that kind of led to other things. We had to come up with different ways to survive the downturn. So that led to this scanning program.
Well, and that was the one thing that kind of piqued my interest in this particular story, was that you guys had to reinvent yourself or figure out a new way to make money during the downturn. You know, I'm in the same boat, and a lot of other ones too. And Dr. Lauren Scott, who's a economist and energy and speaks at a lot of conferences, he always says, you know, a smart, clever capitalist. And so tell me, how did you reinvent yourself? What are you doing now? How did you, you know, turn yourself around during that downturn in order to get some cash flow going?
We were doing just a few little odd things once in a while with the oil companies, and we were just about to the point where we were ready to close shop and head back home to Idaho and kind of get back into what we were doing before. And we as a family kind of got together and said, you know, there's really got to be a way that we can survive this and, you know, come up with a way that's going to have a significant impact on the industry. And so we spent probably a couple of weeks just throwing different ideas, you know, to see what was there, coming up with different thoughts about what we could and couldn't do. And one day we just said, you know, our expertise for the most part was heater treaters, because we were so involved with fire tube changes and preventative maintenance programs and, you know, everything associated with the fire tube, like most roustabout crews were. And so one of the things that we came up with or started thinking about is there had to be a way to determine how bad these tubes were rather than just allowing them to fail.
To listen to the full-length interview with David Allen with Elite Energy Services, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.
Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Is there anything I won't do for money? I think it's pretty obvious not. I'm shameless. I don't care. You want me to paint your cat's front claws? I'll do it. If the price is right. One time, I mowed my neighbor's 5-acre lawn with a weed whacker for $3, and I earned it. You ever get stung by bees while cleaning the gutters? Have a Rottweiler do his business on you during a walk? One time, I was paid $400 to hit a realtor in the face with a pie. I'd like to get more pie work.
Kids and capitalism.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Bill Wren with the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory.
Okay, the name is Bill Wren. You said job title?
Where you're calling, or your organization, I guess.
Bill Wren, Special Assistant to the Superintendent, University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory.
Thank you for joining us today on the Crude Life Media Network. And we've got a kind of a neat story, in my opinion. I like these stories that kind of think outside the box when it comes to oil and gas and some solutions to problems and identifying some different things. And I came across a story, I think it was on space.com or something like that, and it was had to do with University of Texas Austin's McDonald Observatory collaborating with the Permian Basin Petroleum Association and the Texas Oil and Gas Association to reduce light shining from the sky from the drilling rigs and the flaring and etc. So talk to me a little bit just about that collaboration, how it came about, and what you guys are doing.
Well, okay, you'd have to know a little bit about the geography here in terms of where the observatory is located. We're in the heart of the Davis Mountains in far west Texas, about 3 hours east of El Paso, 3 hours from the Big Bend National Park, 3 hours from Midland, Odessa, which is at the heart of the Permian Basin. So we're in the middle of nowhere, but the Permian extends down to the mountains and maybe even under the mountains. There are some wildcatters that are drilling in the mountains proper, going through a few thousand feet of igneous rock to try and get to sedimentary layers. We haven't seen much production close by yet, but we're kind of on the southwestern edge of the Permian, where most of the activity, exploration, production activity has been going on. Well, it picked up big time, I guess, around 2008 or so with the advances in horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing. And around 2010 or so, we began to see that the mountains just to our north were beginning to be silhouetted against the glow in the sky down low on the horizon. And we immediately reached out to the oil and gas industry to see if we could help them keep their lights on the ground and out of the sky. It was for around the first year or two, it was primarily we didn't have anybody really connected with the industry, any contacts or inside, didn't have our foot in the door. So I spent a great deal of time visiting an alphabet soup of oil and gas trade conventions, from the IEDC and the AADE and the NAEP and TIPRO and you name it, all the major trade organizations in oil and gas. And I would, if I could get myself in the door at these conventions, because the registration fees were usually pretty steep, I would just walk the exhibit hall with my little laptop computer and introduce myself as an astronomer from McDonald Observatory, and people would look at me kind of strange, and you may wonder what I'm doing here. Can I show you some pictures? And whip out my laptop and gather a small group around, and just did that for the longest time. And people's response when I talked about alternatives to their their traditional forms of lighting, they scratched their heads and said, well, that makes sense, but it just really never occurred to us, Then I was introduced to I was introduced to the president of Pioneer Energy Services, which is an oil and gas service company that does a lot of drilling and is hired by many of the major operators. And it just so turns out that he and his wife have a ranch not too far from us down by the Big Bend National Park. And he would wax poetically about being able to see the stars of the Milky Way from horizon to horizon, and said that he thought it was worth protecting, and gave us access to his fleet of drilling rigs and said, see what you can do with the lighting. So we, well, first day on the rig, I had the driller touring me around, and he pointed out a rag that he'd stuffed up into this explosion-proof light, the wire mesh that surrounds the glass globe, because the light was directly in his line of sight from his workstation, and it was, the glare was blinding him, so he stuck a rag up in there. And that's when I knew we could do better. And we identified the make and model of the light fixture. Sure enough, the manufacturer offers optional shielding, which Pioneer Energy purchased and installed. The light that was being wasted upward into the sky was reflected back down onto the working surface, providing more light there, and there was much less glare in the driller's eyes, so they shielded all the old legacy lights, the old metal halide lights on that drilling rig. When the price dropped out of the bottom of oil some years back, that rig got auctioned off, and they added new rigs to their fleet, and they incorporated suggestions on our part, recommendations for the, and not particular makes and models of fixtures, but the form factor, the kinds of light fixtures to use on their new rigs, and it turned out really nice. They like it. So that and several other demonstration projects that we did in the field. Well, I could back up and just say that, that from that example, from that experience on the working with Pioneer Energy and their drilling rigs, we wrote a paper that we presented to, I think it was IADC, STE. A Society of Petroleum Engineers Conference on Health, Environment, and Safety up in Denver back in March of 2015, I think. And one of the moderators of that talk that I gave worked for Cimarex Corporation, who then told me I should check out the lighting at one of their major gas separation plants, which I did. The lighting was basically pole-mounted floodlights that were aimed up at high angles and lighting up the surrounding countryside. We asked them, just as a demonstration, that if they didn't like it, put it back the way it was, but if they would not replace the light fixtures or shield them, but just get a bucket truck and a wrench and get up and re-aim the fixtures straight down. And what they found was that all the light that had been shining into the sky and lighting up the surrounding desert was now on their work site, and there was much less glare in their workers' eyes. And they left it the way it was. So we had several successful demonstrations of dark sky friendly lighting in the oil field that also provided better visibility for the workers on site. And with that information in hand, we were invited to attend a meeting of the Railroad Commission with TIPRO, Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners. Think of landowners with oil leases. And who have a lot of clout.
To listen to the full-length interview with Bill Wren, the University of Austin, Texas McDonald Observatory, or listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Oh, my car stops when I go. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Josh Swanson with Vogel Law Firm.
Josh Swanson, Vogel Law Firm.
Josh Swanson with Vogel Law Firm. Thank you for joining us here today with the Crude Life Media Network. And a story we've been following now for, seems like it's going on well over a year, if not more than that. But it has to do with some mineral rights with some North Dakota landowners, as well as, I should say, some mineral owners, as well as the government, Lake Sakakawea. In the email earlier asking for an interview, I mentioned to Josh, I called it a kerfuffle. And so I'll let you kind of just kind of set the table for the listeners out there, the people who may not be familiar with this case that just kind of seems to not go away.
Yeah, the word you use, kerfuffle, I'm not sure how many letters are in that word, but I could think of some four-letter words that might be synonymous with kerfuffle that that have maybe described what this has become. And this deals with the mineral rights under Lake Sakakawea. And as folks in western North Dakota and oil and gas country know, and people that pay attention to these things, such as yourself, there was a Supreme Court decision, Wilkinson versus State, wherein my clients, the Wilkinson family, prevailed, where the Supreme Court ruled that if the state's going to claim the minerals under Lake Sakakawea, that's an unconstitutional taking, and they needed to provide compensation to the private mineral owners. Now, that decision came down this past September after the legislature passed Senate Bill 2134, which validated the rights of the private mineral owners who had that property under Lake Sakakawea before the United States government acquired it for Garrison Dam back in the 1950s. So now part of what Senate Bill 2134 required was a new study commissioned by the Oil and Gas Division of the Industrial Commission to figure out where the ordinary high watermark line was. Now, fast forward to the last week of June, June 26th, Wank and Associates, the group that had done the survey, there was a public hearing and an opportunity for the public to comment on Wank Associates' survey of where the ordinary high watermark was. And what those public comments revealed was that there are some serious deficiencies with the Wank report, including constitutional defects that'll land the thing right back in litigation before the courts in North Dakota, dealing with ordinary high water mark. Now, this is an issue that should have been resolved a long time ago. The North Dakota Supreme Court is very clear in the Wilkinson decision, and I can tell you, you know, line and verse, paragraphs 21 through 25, that if the state tries to claim any acreage outside of the acres, you know, or excuse me, let me restate that, if the state tries to claim any acres that private landowners reserved when the United States acquired the property for the Garrison Project, that is an unconstitutional taking. The Wenk Associates report flat out ignores that portion of the Wilkinson decision and says that there's 10,402 mineral acres owned by private landowners that Wenk says the state ought to get, which is a clear violation of the Supreme Court's decision in Wilkinson. So, you know, we had thought and hoped that that issue would be resolved by now, but it's the never-ending saga, and there just doesn't seem to be any finality to this thing.
Correct me if I'm wrong on the timeline, but there was a case where the private mineral owners had won that, and then the state went back and reopened it or re-sued them, or I don't know what the correct terminology is, but they didn't like it, so they went around and said it's our money. I guess, is that how I'm following this?
Well, the gist of it is, Jason, that if the state goes through and claims those 10,402 acres that the Wenk survey says belong to the state, those acres were specifically reserved by private mineral owners, then they'll be ignoring the Wenk decision and this will end up in litigation. Now, as far as the timeline goes, back last, the last legislative session in 2017, mineral owners and industry got together and the legislature passed Senate Bill 2134, which says that the United States Army Corps of Engineers taking lines used to acquire property by the United States for Lake Sakakawea and the Garrison Project, that those lines controlled, and those were the presumptive lines for determining ownership. So the state legislature got that part right. The problem now isn't so much with what the state has done, but with the survey group, Wenk and Associates, who they hired to do the survey, who said the state owns those 10,000 acres in contradiction of the Supreme Court's decision in Wilkinson. So the issue we have now is that if the Industrial Commission adopts the Wenk report as is, this thing will end up back in the court system, and we'll be litigating it again, even though the Supreme Court has already spoken to it. So what we don't know yet what the Industrial Commission is going to do with it. Like I told them at the hearing for public comment on June 26th, they have an opportunity to get this right and avoid that result. And then it's my sincerest hope that they do that, because the last thing that I want, the last thing that my clients want, and frankly, the last thing the state needs, is to keep throwing good money after bad and litigating this when the question's already been decided by the Supreme Court.
So what's been happening at a state level? I got an email indicating that there's been quite a bit of turnover or a lot of different jostling around of, it looks like different people that are on the case, not on the case. Attorney General's office removed several assistant attorney generals, that sort of thing. That was just an email I got that sparked, you know, me to contact you, Josh Swanson with Vogel Law Firm, who's, I guess the lead attorney on this, would that be the right way, the lead attorney on this case?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair to say, Jason. We've been involved in this going back since February 2014 is when the case ended up on our desk and our clients, and it's not so much, you know, me, the lead person fighting this. It's my clients who deserve the credit for taking on the state of North Dakota and the land board and the attorney general's office. And if it wasn't for the efforts of folks like the Wilkinson family and Ed Lynch and Suzanne Vos, and other mineral owners wouldn't be reaping the benefits of their fight. And I've just been, you know, the attorney for them on that part, but they're the ones that really deserve the credit. And to your question, your guess is as good as mine as what's going on in the attorney general's office. The two assistant attorney generals who are employees of the state of North Dakota were involved in this litigation from the beginning. I can't speak to their role in the case anymore, but what I can tell you that in the Nelson and Sorum lawsuit that Representative Nelson filed challenging the legislation, they're not the attorneys of record in that case. And in fact, the state is spending money on outside counsel, and they've hired two very capable attorneys in Dan Gossett out of Grand Forks and Mark Hansen out of Fargo, but they're both private practice attorneys. So it's unclear to me whether or not the Attorney General's office has tagged team in two new private practice attorneys to handle that. But my concern with that is the fact that, you know, when is this finally going to be over? You know, it's unclear whether the Attorney General's office...
To listen to the full-length interview with Josh Swanson with Vogel Law Firm, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Show you something that's never been shown. Your mind blown, your mind blown, and that's all you need to know. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly, like you have plans to save the world. Just remember your past will only last if you don't take off your mask. The inside is warm. You've been wishing you'd never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts, now on shale.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard of the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Turi Cannon with the Texas Pipeline Association.
About 3 years ago, this association, we commissioned Texas Tech to do a study on the economic impact of solely the midstream industry. You see these numbers every once in a while of what the economic impact of the oil and gas industry as a whole is for the country and for the state. And those numbers are gargantuan. And so, but what I wanted to do is pick out upstream and pick out downstream and so focus solely on midstream and find out what exactly the economic impact was. And the numbers were just staggering. Texas Tech came back and said in 1 year alone, the Texas pipeline industry contributed $33 billion with a B in economic output, and it sustained more than 165,000 jobs, and it contributed $18.7 billion in gross state product, and in local government taxes in 1 year, it contributed $1.6 billion. And that's just the midstream. That's not your producers. That's not your chemical plants. That's solely the pipeline midstream industry. So I thought that, and that was a conservative estimate that they used, and I just thought that that was a fascinating snapshot of the economic impact of pipelines.
You know, isn't that incredible? I mean, I was at a conference a few years ago, and Stephen Moore, he's an economist for Heartland Group, maybe? Heritage Foundation. He's a Fox News contributor as well. But he had a study up that showed that over the last decade, the only industry that added jobs was the mining sector, which is oil and gas, that falls under. But all of these startups and all this technology talk and all these other things in the last decade have not added jobs, a net gain of jobs, except for the mining industry, which is oil and gas. And another, another study that I found interesting is up in Belfield, North Dakota. They're building the first greenfield refinery in the last 50 years from full-on refinery up there, and was it the Anacortes study out of the state of Washington? And this is the Davis refinery up in Belfield is where this study came about, through Anacortes in Washington, their refinery. For every job, it's 12 or 24 jobs that get produced because of one job out of a refinery. So for every hundred jobs at a refinery, it actually equals 2,000 people in your local community. I mean, it is absolutely amazing the economic ripple and stability that the energy industry really brings to communities. Don't you think? I mean, that's what you're trying to say with these economic studies. So I'm just trying to validate what you're saying, I guess.
No, you're exactly right. And my apologies for not knowing much about the North Dakota economy, but I know that, and you probably remember when the recession was around us a couple of years ago, that the oil and gas industry in Texas definitely kept Texas on the forefront without going into the deep recession. So
you know,
we fared better than much of the country, and I don't know about North Dakota, but I would imagine the same thing held true up there as well.
What was the numbers on those midstream billions and millions again?
Sure, you can find that on our website at texaspipelines.com. The study is published on that. But the economic output for 1 year, the snapshot that they gave was $33 billion in economic output, and then it sustained 165,000 jobs, and added $1.6 billion to state and local government taxes.
What was that? One point what?
$1.6 billion in state and local taxes.
Wow.
And the neat thing is they did a study that they...
To listen to the full-length interview with Terry Cannon with the Texas Pipeline Association, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life.
Oh, yeah. I'll hammer on the harmony. After a hard week's work, we'll need a mighty fine melody. We'll ready the rhyme and rhythm, chord each note and every measure. Together we will make a rich living, phrasing and composing.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
All we need is
four wheels, a full gas tank and a few miles left, where all the lonesome souls go. Who wrote their songs of living, and now it's our souls left. For the giving, we already know how it's done. Let's put our lives on hold and run, dodging the clouds and heading for the sun.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, you can make a million too. Minnie's a crooked woman, diamonds on every hand, tricking mother for you everywhere she lands. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, or you can make a million too. Quick, Jack, when I jump over the candlestick, why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, you can make a million too.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
Hey, folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.